That's the answer. It's called Ruach Sara Sadeh Baruch. That storm wind. Also, Osadeh Baruch. It's also obligated to Hashem Yitbarach. Like we said, also the dance, also the Yetzer Hara. We could see it in the story of Amalek, that when Am Yisrael were weak from keeping the Torah and Mitzvot, Ayef, V'yagea, V'le'era Elohim, and they were questioning on Hashem Yitbarach, asking if Hashem is with us, or maybe he's not, so Vayavo Amalek. Immediately then, Amalek came. Oh, it wasn't a coincidence. It was after that they were asking questions on Hashem Yitbarach, if Hashem is with us or not, then Amalek came. So you see that Amalek is a messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't want to receive the message from Hashem Yitbarach through messengers like those. Okay, but if a person, you tell him once, you tell him twice, and he's not listening to you, you have to raise your voice. Raise your voice. And if you're not doing it, and if you're doing it and he's not listening, so you're damaging him if he's not listening, because he needs help, he needs to be rebuked. And so this is why Hashem Yitbarach is trying, and if a person is not listening, so need to talk to him in a language that he understands. There's nothing to do. So some people, if you're not screaming at them, if you're not threatening their lives, so they're not waking up. And it's not them and we are waking up, Baruch Hashem. No, we know ourselves. We need to run also. We need to be afraid, and we need to... It wakes us up. What to do? We don't want it, but what can you do? The truth is that it is waking us up. So we don't want it. So how are we going to come to that point that we're going to understand and be able to hear the voice of Hashem Yitbarach without the screaming, without the rebuke, without the pain? By Hitbodedu. Because when you come first to Hashem Yitbarach and you tell him, listen, I need your help, teach me, talk to me, explain to me in the language that I can understand, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can open up for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not going to chase after you and going to do things to you that's going to be beyond a certain level of merit that you have. And even though that what that you receive already is beyond, and it's all loving kindness of Hashem Yitbarach and free gifts, but still you cannot expect Hashem Yitbarach to do everything for everyone and without no effort from your side at all. It's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He is waking us up to wake up. It's all beginning from the loving kindness of Hashem Yitbarach. But after that it happened, Hashem Yitbarach still expects us to do something, some effort. Like we explained that argument between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Hashem is saying to Am Yisrael, Shuvu Elai v'ashuvu Elchem. If you're going to do Tshuva, I'm coming back to live with you. And we're saying, okay, but we're not able. So Hashivenu Elecha v'nashuvah. If you're going to bring us closer to you to do tshuva, so we're coming, no problem. So that's the argument. And even though that we feel that we're right, we feel that this is what the Hashem is teaching us, that we're not able to complete our tshuva alone, and we do need Him to help us, still, we need to want to listen to His voice. If Hashem Yitbarach is saying to us, do tshuva, and then I'm going to come, at least we can want it. We should want it. We should come to that place that we want Hashem. So when you go to the field and you say to Hashem, Bach, listen, Hashem, I cannot hear you. I don't understand the messages. I don't understand what you're saying to me. Okay, the rent is expensive. The price in the supermarket is expensive. We need to pay arnona, taxes, and I don't understand what's the science. Okay, I understand you. You're making life hard for me on that aspect. Okay, so my wife, she's not happy. She's got her issues. She wants to achieve things in her life. But I don't understand what you want from me. What can I do? Okay, I have so many wonderful mitzvot, and you wake me up to understand that I need to keep them. But I don't understand. It's too confused. It's too big for me to understand the message. When you read what it is like that, and you just really, you believe that Hashem is there with you. You're not coming to read the healing to Hashem, to read the siddur for Hashem, to say, to fulfill your obligation and to say, it what to do. Okay, I came to the field today, I was spending 1 hour with Hashem. Thank you Hashem, help me Hashem, please help me with Shalom Bayit, please Hashem help me for Anasa, please Hashem help me in the Yeshiva. Oh, Baruch Hashem, already 1 hour. Thank you Hashem, oh, I already also thanked Hashem today. Oh, bye. And you go to your business and jumping on your bike and driving. No, it's not the way. When you come to Hashem Yitzbarach, when you come to the field, you need really to close the doors. Mamash, to be alone with Hashem. Yitzbodedut is coming from the word alone. Mamash, to be separated from the world. And to believe only in Hashem Yitzbarach. And then when you talk to Hashem Yitzbarach, you need to believe. Like we're saying, Da lifnei mi ata omed. Melech, Malchei HaMelachim, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu. Know in front of who you're standing. The King of all kings. King of all kings. Means He's in charge of everything. And you're with Him now. And that's the way that you can start your Yitbodedut. You say, Hashem Sfatai Tiftach. Like we said in the explanation on Tfilat Shemona Esrei. The beginning starts with that understanding that I cannot even pray if you are not going to give me the powers to pray. When you go like that to the field, in a quiet time, in the night time, in a quiet place, in the place that really you can be, concentrate. Yes, Ted?
Well, you can concentrate.
No, I'm going to say this thing.
Focus.
We're not talking about petal zero.
Rikus, Mashuach.
Focus.
Shamata, you can concentrate, or
and
you can
he
focus.
Was teacher for English before you were born. So relax.
Isn't it Hashem can give you whatever it gives me? What do I need God to feel if you're asking? I need this, I need that, give me whatever it gives me.
Two things. First of all, three things. First of all, you're right. Four things. First of all, thank you. Second, you're right. Third, we have that obligation, mitzvah, to pray. Hashem wants us to pray. Now you work, and you bought an apple. After that, you sweat for that money. And you gave your masrot from that money, afrashat rumot, masrot, everything you gave. Now with the money that really belongs to you, and no one's going to talk to you about, you paid even taxes, and mamash, mas hakhnasa, IRS, everything. It's your money. One shekel you left, you bought an apple with it, okay? Now that apple, you're not allowed to eat it. You're obligated to say bracha on it. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam
v'ra'ayim.
No, it's not to thank. It's not to thank. It's not only to thank. You can say, thank you Hashem and eat. You're not thanking. When you say the blessing, you say, you are the source of all blessings, Baruch atah, it's you, Hashem, your kind, King of the world, the creator of that thing, the fruit of that thing. You, by saying those words of the bracha, you throw away the kfirah, the bad thought that you had, that apple is yours, that money was mine, that I made that bread, that it belongs to me, that I'm going to eat it, I sweat for it, I worked for it, it's mine, it's belongs. No. It all belongs to Hashem. That's the purpose of the blessing. That when you're going to bless on the apple, you're going to eat it as a free gift.
Yes,
even though that you did, Baruch Hashem, but still, it's not yours. If you eat it just like that, you're a thief. It's called gazlan. A thief that steals from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because you need to know always, this is why Rabbi Nathan is bringing that in Mitzvah, in Tziat HaPat, in Chot Tziat HaPat, to do a Motzi Lechem Min HaAretz. There are a lot of halachot in that mitzvah of a motzi lechem min haaretz that includes the number 10. You need to put 10 fingers on the challah, on the loaf of bread. You need to say 10 words. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam. A motzi lechem min haaretz. 10 words. And you have more mitzvot. And all more things that include 10. Why? Because it takes 10 things to take out the bread out of the field. After you need to seed it, you need to water it, you need to grind and grind. No, not grind. Plow the earth, and then you need to harvest, and you need to grind the grind, and then you need to knead it, and then to bake it, and then also you have a lot of 10. The number is 10. So, because that really you've done 10 things, and it's a long way, that it's very easy to forget Hashem in that way, it took you a whole year, or maybe 7-8 months, until you can eat, and you're waking up every day at 5 a.m. to work, to plow your field, and to... It's easy to forget after all of the effort that you put, that it's coming from Hashem Yisroel. This is why you have few things that are going to remind you that Hashem, He is Amotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, bring out the bread out from the field, from the ground. So, when we go into the field, to ask, to pray for Hashem Yisroel, first of all, we have the obligation to do that, because Hashem Yisroel wants us to remember that actually it is all coming from Him. The second thing is that it's called Yeshuva Das. By praying on things like you should and bringing back Hashem Yisroel into the picture in all of the situations of your life, by that you're bringing yourself to that place that you can recognize, you see that it's really Hashem Yisroel, and the faith is being stable inside of yourself, and with the time you're going to live the faith and not only force yourself to believe in Hashem Yisroel and remind yourself.
What is the stress to that brother?
The only thing about this brother that can make you feel stressed about it, it's the Yetzirah doesn't like the fact that you're going to do, because it's the most calm and relaxed thing in the world. You need to go to a quiet place. I understand. I also, Baruch Hashem, coming from a very loud place in my life, but still, you have to understand. It can be one person that's going to tell you, listen, Coca-Cola is the best thing in life. Vodka, it's my drink. Okay, so... Poor guy. Someone else can tell you LSD is the taste of life. Someone else is going to tell you. Everyone can say whatever. It doesn't mean that it's the truth. If you're in a rebel that LSD is doing it for you, okay, so we're going to have to work with you until you're going to come to a place that you're going to understand that you weren't balanced when you said that LSD was your cure, that it was your gig, your flow, your whatever. It's all nonsense. It really is not healthy for you. It's not good for you. And not even light drugs, and not even alcohol, and not even beer. But it depends in the level of your awareness to yourself, and your awareness to the needs of your soul, awareness to your body, and more and more. So when a person is not so balanced, so good things, oy, the Shlomo HaMelech is saying, oy la omrim, the oy to the ones that are calling bitter sweet, and to sweet bitter. To learn Torah, it's not for me. But to see movies all day long, it's heaven for God. But it's going to bring you to hell, and that's going to bring you to heaven. So, need to work on ourselves. So, even now that you say that to go to the field is very stressful, the stress is coming from the body. From the body that is stubborn, that is afraid to confront all of the things that are safim, coming up.
Floating up
inside of your soul. Me, for an example, I'm, you know, I'm a very good example, because and I can bring myself out of times, because really I came from a totally far place from Hashem Yisroel. Hashem Yisroel didn't have no place in my life at all. It was the most funniest joke in my life. The thing that there is, if someone would come and talk to me about in private sort of thing, I would run in with my jeep or something like that. I would never listen to him. It was mamash. I was so far from it. And when it hit me that really there is something beyond all of the nonsense that I was doing in my life, that was filling my life. I had a full life. Mamash, I was doing good. I was doing a lot of things in my life. And I realized that everything that I have, it's imagination. Bunch of imaginations, and I really very empty, and my inside is even worse than empty. It's filthy, full with lies, full with lack of honesty and sincerity to myself. I'm not who that I am. I'm lying, and I'm making up things, and I'm pretending to be who that. So it hit me so hard that I was shocked to see how far I am from the truth, and I saw that really there is truth. And I wanted it. I had that point of truth inside of me that that regret on all of the lie and wanted the truth. And I decided to commit myself to that no matter what. And it was, this is why I'm a good example. But what had happened to me in that process was that, for an example, in the beginning of my tshuva, I saw a lot of times that I'm going to have to do such. For an example, I had a very good friend that was my best friend in our youth, in my childhood. And I hurt him very, very much. I really done something very stinky, cruel, magail, disgusting to my best friend. I done that. And I'm talking to you before I was keeping Shabbos, before I was putting feeling, just realizing that there is a concept that calls God beyond the curtains of life. I just realized that there is truth and that I'm lying to myself and to him for over 2 years of a certain thing that I done to that person. And I came to him and I admit. But in the 2 weeks that it took me from my understanding that I need to do that, to that time that I came to him and I opened up everything that I done to him and I hurt him, it was suffering for me. I was suffering from the thought that I'm going to have to confront my stink, my gall nefesh, the fact that I'm disgusting, that I could do something like that to my best friend that was back then. So, this is one example. Another example, with my parents, with changing my outfit and to do things and to start wearing kippah in the same street that I was giving invitations to clubs and to parties and to dance all night and with leather pants and silk shirt. Now I had to go with my tzitzit in the same places, meet the same people, crossing those coffee shops that I was sitting and hanging out all night in those places, and I'm not going to do it anymore. And my tshuva is from Jerusalem to Jerusalem. And it was wild for me, but I had to do it. So even though that it was very stressful, I knew from inside that I really need to do it. One day I'm going to have to stand in front of the truth, so why to wait until judgment day? Why not to bring the day today, to do tshuva today, to confess today? So you're afraid to deal. I'm not saying you, we, I'm afraid to deal. You know, sometimes even today, my wife, she can rebuke me on things. For example, I'm going to share with you. For example, she had a birthday a few days ago, two weeks ago, and I wanted to make her happy so much, and I'm thinking what to do for her, and I'm suggesting her, offering to have things. Let's do this. I'll buy you that, and let's do that. Let's go to a restaurant. Let's go for a vacation. I'm offering. I'm trying everything. One day before her birthday, she started to cry, and I'm asking her, I'm trying. I'm trying. What's going on? What's gonna be? And she starts to cry. I tell her, why are you crying? Because she said, you all of the time try to force me to be happy in the way that makes you happy. And not listening to my needs, to what that I need. And it's a very deep rebuke, very high level, let's say, of rebuke. Why? Because it's not that really I tell her nonsense. I'm really looking to help her, to do something good for her. But I'm so stuck inside of myself that I don't even realize that really I would love to go to a restaurant in my birthday, and I would love to take my family to a vacation in my birthday, and more examples like those. And she can use some help in the kitchen. She can use, I don't know, something very small, very simple that. And so there are a lot of rebukes, a lot of things that it's very hard to deal with the fact that someone has such a huge complaint on you when you also try to do the best that you can. It's not that I'm ignoring her and I forgot her birthday and I don't care. No, we're talking about it for weeks and I'm trying to do the best, and she can cry from frustration. Why? Because we came to a place that is so close to the truth, but still not in the truth, because still I have mistakes. But we're so close that the truth is rebuking you on very thin things. But you're very lucky if you take that rebuke, because then you can do tshuva And then you can take that message and understanding to the field and to confess on it and to ask for help from Hashem Yitzbarach. That's going to give you more ability and more sensitivity to really to see who is standing in front of you and what the needs of the people. But if she wouldn't rebuke me, and she would say to herself, inside she would say, okay, let's go with them to the restaurant, let's make them happy. So she would never be happy in her own brother. It was okay, she would compromise on something, sure, but it wasn't her simcha. The fact that I give her so much confidence, and I care about her so much, and I love her, appreciate her, and talk to her, and try to respect her so much, it gives her also the ability to reveal who that she really is, and not to hide and depress and ignore who that she is inside. A lot of women cannot be who that they are, and for life, forever. Okay, she's saying to herself, Baruch Hashem, I have a good husband, everything is good. He's not beating me, he's not cursing me, Baruch Hashem, he's bringing parnasa, thank God. But she cannot express herself, because she knows that it makes him sad when she's rebuking him. She knows that it makes him angry, even if he's not cursing. But so she's saying to herself, oh, why bother? Why should I make him sorry? And she's going to depress herself all of her life, because you don't love the rebuke, because you don't really want to fix yourself. So when you want to fix yourself, what's going to happen? From all sides, from every direction, but it's going to bring you to the purpose. So that's another example about Shalom Bayit. But in life, in the process of tshuva, okay, when you're going to start to open up yourself in the field, in the bodedut, when you confess in front of Hashem, no doubts at all that the first layers that you're going to find are going to be very smelly, very not nice. You're going to start open up yourself, and you're going to see how far you are from Hashem, how really you don't care about Torah and Mitzvot, how really you love lust and desires on Mash. It makes you so happy, so relaxed to have all of those lust and desires that we, meganim otam, saying bad things on them all of the time. But for you, really, this is the center of your life. Center of your life, and you can be 5, 10, 20, 50 years in tshuva, and you don't realize that the center of your life is tavat ni'u, tavat, desire for honor, and arrogance, and all kinds of stupid things that we can say bad things on that all of the time, and actually, it's us, it's our center, it's the most solid and stable thing that we have in our lives. It's love to lust and desire and not to count on Hashem Yitzbarach, to be far from faith. So it's hard to reveal that. And this is why the Yetzirah is afraid from it and makes the people stressed and afraid to get into that process of tshuva. But it all depends on the will. If you're going to have a strong will to do that one step after the other, according to your abilities, according to your level, and to keep on marching, in the end you're going to find it, and you're going to see that it's all good, and it was worth it, the effort was worth it. Because the spiritual satisfaction of being close to Hashem and Baruch, there is nothing in the world that compares to that. Thank you.